It's we've been on the air now. I've been on the air now since February.
Oh, okay.
I'm thrilled to be here. And it's a conservative talk radio show. And you're here because you are involved in a group called the Oath Keepers, which is considered a conservative group of sorts. And we want to find out all about the Oath Keepers. But before we do that, John, I'd like to find out a little bit about my guests before an interview. So can you give the listener a little bio?
Basically, I was born in New York City, and I was on the New York City Fire Department for a while. I am a veteran, and I was a member of the state police for about 31 years. I own my own company now. I'm in business here in Columbia County, and I got involved, let's say, interested in politics probably around 2007, 2008. When Ron Paul was running for president, and been involved ever since. I joined the Oath Keepers. Oath Keepers is a nonpartisan organization. Most of the people, in fact, that are members of the Oath Keepers are independent or non-aligned people. They're not in any party because they don't particularly care for either one. It is an organization basically made up.
Hold it. Oh, there we go. I was wondering why I couldn't hear myself. You want to start over?
Yeah. All right. Well, we had a little technical difficulty. John was sitting at mic number 3, but evidently mic number 2, for some reason, was the one that needed to be activated. So we're back here with John Wallace of the Oath Keepers organization, and I had asked him to give a little bio, and he's going to do it again now because you didn't hear it the first time. Sorry about that.
Okay, basically, I'm a transplant. I was born in New York City, and I was a member of the New York City Fire Department for a while. I was I'm a veteran, and I was on New York State Police for 31 years, and that's one of the reasons I relocated up here, because I was transferred to Albany. Initially to work internal affairs, and then eventually I became in charge of the uniform force, about 3,500 people. And in 2007, I'd been retired. I'm a local businessman. I do own my own business now in Columbia County. And I got involved in politics when Ron Paul was running, because I really wasn't that involved, and you're too busy making a living and, you know, taking care of my family.
And how do you make your living? What's your business?
Well, I have a real estate business.
Okay.
In Columbia County. It's called, okay, Gray Rider Real Estate.
And what town do you live in?
Chatham. I live in the town of Chatham.
All right.
And been here since 1992. But anyway, in around 2009, I got involved in the organization. I joined an organization which is called the Oath Keepers. It is a nonpartisan organization. In fact, most of the members are not members of any political party. They're independent voters because they don't trust either party.
But they are registered voters in most cases.
They're registered voters, yes. And we have a large influx of new members within the last few months, mainly due to the passage of the SAFE Act.
Right.
And what we're finding is that there's a lot of people out there that aren't registered. So part of what we're doing when we have meetings is to make sure, or at least ask the people to register to vote. We don't care what party you register in, just to register to vote.
Okay, well, I understand you don't care what party a person is in, and why would you if they believe in what the group believes in? But the reality is that most of the registered voters are probably registered Republicans, or am I wrong about that?
Oh, I don't think so. I think in Columbia County, I think there's more registered Democrats right now in Columbia County than Republicans.
In the Oath Keepers?
Oh, no, not in the Oath. We don't know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, we have no way of knowing. We don't ask that. It has nothing to do with the membership in the organization. Now, the Oath Keepers basically is an organization made up of veterans, military veterans, active military people, active and retired police, deputies, troopers, active and retired people that have been in emergency service. And, of course, it's open to other people as affiliate members.
Now, you mentioned the Second Amendment a little while ago.
Yeah.
And I guess the whole issue of gun control has drawn more people to the Oath Keepers because they're very, it's a very strong constitutionalist organization that believes in the Second Amendment.
Well, we believe in a lot of different things. Freedom and liberty is the main thing, but everyone who is a member of the Oath Keepers has to take an oath to the Constitution. And all police officers, all military people, have all, in previous lives, so to speak, previous jobs, have taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And what we see, the reason for the Oath Keepers is what we see is that there's a tax on the Constitution and there's a tax on the people's rights.
Well, what do you as a group think about those individuals? And I feel the average person who identifies himself as a liberal would probably tell you that the U.S. Constitution is what they would call an evolving document, and that you shouldn't get too fanatical about what it actually says, because as time goes on, if you don't like what it says, you just should modify it. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, I don't agree that it's so much of a living document, but there are ways to modify the Constitution. It's called the amendment process. And, people can go through the amendment process. It's not easy. It's not designed to be easy. But it's been amended many times, updated. Over the years, amendments have been added. So it is a document that can be changed. But it cannot be changed easily. You have to understand that the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, you have to understand that the first 10 amendments said basically the people already have these rights in the Bill of Rights. You have the right to free speech and assembly. You have a right to bear arms, to defend yourself. And the main purpose of the Second Amendment is to defend yourself against tyranny, not necessarily to go hunting or anything else. And it's a right of the people. Those rights existed before the Constitution.
Now, I think it was the second show that I did on The Right Opinion. We had a segment about libertarianism. We had a whole show about libertarianism. Would you say that the Oath Keeper philosophy is in line with libertarianism?
Oh, I don't think necessarily
because
so.
Because Ron Paul certainly views himself as a libertarian, and you mentioned Ron Paul.
I mentioned Ron Paul because he was the first one that probably awoke me, let's say, to the constitutional violations that were occurring. I agree with Ron Paul on many issues, but a lot of them I didn't agree with him. But he was the one that inspired me to read up on the Constitution, to look at what's going on in the world and why we are involved in so many different things. I looked at the United Nations, how we got involved in the United Nations, how the United Nations is usurping our Constitution. I mean, we've been at war ever since World War II. The American soldier, the military people, we have been at war without a declaration of war. The Constitution is very clear that before we invade another country, we are supposed to go through the process of following the Constitution and have Congress declare war. We haven't done that. So what we've had since 1945, it was the founding of the United Nations, is an end run around the Constitution, where we've signed on to an international body of people who have said, listen, if the Security Council decides that you're going to invade Iraq, I mean, we've been in Korea, we've been in, we've bombed in Bosnia, we've been in Vietnam, we've been in Iraq twice, Afghanistan, all of those wars were wars that were not declared by our Congress. So we had a president, and this is both Republicans and Democrats, who have brought us to war without going through the process. And we've had, you know, 70, 80,000 American soldiers have died in combat and hundreds of thousands wounded in wars that have not been declared. So we stand as an oath keeper for this Constitution.
Well, let me go back to Ron Paul a little bit, because to me, he certainly, and you use the word was, so he's becoming...
He's still around.
I guess his son is sort of taking over for him, Rand Paul, where he left off. But Ron Paul is in the Republican Party. I think the media, when they talk about libertarians, the media doesn't mention the Oath Keepers. They probably don't know about the Oath Keepers. But when they mention libertarians, they certainly talk about them in the context of being on the right side of the political spectrum. Is that not...
Well, let me go to ask you a question. The left right paradigm is false. It's a lot of times you'll see when people are in trying to defend the Second Amendment, their rights, you're called Nazis, you're called fascists. They want to hold it onto their guns. When in actuality, the Nazis were on the left. The Nazi, the National Socialist Party, they were on the left. The fascists, Mussolini was a communist. Fascism is a branch of a variety of communism. He was on the left. So the argument that's constantly used by, let's say, liberals, if they want to, that we're fascists, we're on the right. They're not. All the Nazis, the fascists, the communists, the socialists, everyone that historically that has tried to take the people's rights away, including the Second Amendment, including gun rights, but including freedom of speech and all these other things, they're all on the left.
And, you know, it's an historical fact that it's not like the German people were opposed to Hitler. He was well liked by most of the German people.
He was elected.
He was elected, and he was well-liked, and he did a lot of things for Germany. And, of course, the people that supported him may not have realized that genocide was on his agenda. But, yes, he was on the left side of the political spectrum, so... I'm glad you pointed it out. But on the other hand, you're a constitutionalist. You strongly believe in the Constitution. The Constitution is a liberal document. When it was written, it was considered progressive. It was giving the individual more freedom. It was a liberal document.
No, you're wrong. It did not give the individuals any freedom. The people already had those freedoms.
Okay, but I know what you're getting at, because we the people, which is in the Constitution, we the people own the power. And that's something that any thinking individual would agree with. But I'm just saying, as a document, I think that because it agreed with that concept of we the people, it, even though we had a right to it, it was still what the typical average person today would consider a liberal document.
Well, the Bill of Rights part of the Constitution was based on the Magna Carta.
I'm not arguing. I'm not saying that it's bad that it was a liberal document. I just think that, picking up on what you were talking about with the Nazis, the Constitution is a great document, even though I consider it a liberal document. And the irony to me is that the people like you, who believe in this liberal document the most, the people that believe in the most.
Well, I don't acknowledge it's a liberal document. I do acknowledge. I do acknowledge. And I see those liberal conservative. I'm not a conservative.
Right.
And I don't want to. You can't brand me as a conservative. I'm a constitutionalist. And I do believe in freedom. But the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, a part of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, I wouldn't classify them as either liberal or conservative.
I'm on your team. I personally agree with you. But as the radio host, I'm trying to point out that the media would not view you as having no political orientation. They would not view you on the left. To the media, the mainstream media, someone who is a strict constitutionalist is on the right side of the political spectrum. I think that's irrefutable. Not that it's right, but that's how they view it. Now, why wouldn't the average Democrat, the average liberal, be interested in being an oath keeper? I mean, why wouldn't they want to support an organization that is supportive of the Constitution, which is the foundation of their country? But yet there are many people who feel that constitutionalists are too strict in their interpretation. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, only because it doesn't meet what they want to do. Certain people would like to take... If you look at the history of, let's say, gun control in the United States, of course, gun control started in the United States after the Civil War. And it was the control of the guns was to keep the guns away from black people, because they called them Negroes. And they actually had laws... That black people could not have a gun in the southern states, mainly. And that's where gun control started. And it was designed so the former Confederate states wouldn't have to face armed black people who would take retribution for what was done to them before as slaves and a lot of other things, the lynchings and everything else.
So the government feared reprisal, which they certainly should have feared because they deserved it. And that's an interesting historical...
That's the start of it.
Yeah, and now everyone, you could be black, Hispanic, white, doesn't matter, the government appears to be trying to dilute our freedoms as far as guns,
well,
as far as the Second Amendment.
Well, they have, and I'll give you an example. I was at a conference with Senator John Sampson, who was from Brooklyn, and this was after the passage of the SAFE Act. And I was with, I would say, 80 of his constituents up at the state capitol. And they wanted to know why the people upstate New York wanted to keep all these kind of guns. So I asked them pretty clearly. I said, listen, how many of you, you're all city residents, how many of you have guns, licensed guns? And they said no, because in New York City, everyone has to register every gun. So even if you have a 22 rifle, it has to be registered with the New York City Police Department. So what's happened in a lot of these urban areas of the country, Chicago, prime example, L.A., New York City, the residents of those cities are unable to defend themselves because they can't get a gun.
You're not even allowed to own a slingshot in New York State. Did you know that?
No, that I didn't know.
Yeah, slingshots are illegal in New York State. And in BB guns aren't, but they are in New York City. So, yeah, in New York City, you have to rely on your scissors.
Well, there's a lot more windows in New York City. I remember playing stickball in New York City, and they just come around and take our bats.
Oh, my. Well, this is WGXC 90.7 FM with live feed at WGXC.org, and you're listening to The Right Opinion with your host, Ed Furtick, and today's first guest, John Wallace of the Oath Keepers. And I am once again, John, going to attempt to play a CD.
Okay.
And we'll see if it works this time. All right, so you ready here? Don't go away.
I'm ready.
You're not going to go away, you promise?
No.
Okay.
You want me to hum a song while we're waiting for this?
Well, what? I am... totally perplexed as to why the CDs are not playing. But
I could do an imitation of the Big Bopper if you
forever.
Want.
We could talk forever, so it's not a big deal.
I think you should sing a song, Ed, that you should fill in.
You know, what a lot of people don't realize is that when I've been playing country music on this station, I actually have been singing along a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I
with the microphone off, though, right?
No.
Oh.
No. With the microphone on, I do see my harmonies are so good, they don't even know that I'm doing it.
Oh, okay.
Do you like country music?
I do. Okay. I know, to be honest with you, I don't listen to music very much anymore.
You're too busy being an oath keeper.
No, it's just, between business and a few other things, I do go out and give little talks once in a while, and it doesn't seem that I have the time.
You don't have the time?
Doesn't seem like it, and he's changing the CD. Here
no.
we go. You put it in backwards.
No, so. I didn't.
Okay.
So let me go on with our conversation with John Wallace about the Oath Keepers. What do you, I mean, I know how you guys feel, guys and gals. I know how you feel about things. I know how you view the Constitution, but, well, what do you actually do about it? I mean, are you a political force in any way?
I think we are, and because a lot of our members are veterans, and retired police officers, and there's active ones as well. We've been going around. One of the important functions of the Oath Keepers is to be in contact with the local sheriff and convince him or just to talk to him about the power. The office of the sheriff is probably the most important elected official at the county level. And in a lot of parts of the states, in this state, when the SAFE Act was passed, the New York State Sheriff's Association was one of the first groups to come out and to say that a lot of the law was unconstitutional. Some of the SAFE Act is there's some things in there that I agree with as far as the increased penalties for people with that use an illegal gun in the commission of a crime. That's a good thing. There are other things that have to do with people that have mental problems. They shouldn't have a gun, and I don't believe people should have cannons and bazookas and those kind of guns. But I think people have a right to defend themselves. If you look at the Boston Marathon bombing. Right after that, where whole neighborhoods were locked down. You have to understand that here we had armed terrorists roaming certain parts of both Boston and I think it was Waterford, I forget the name of the town. But where they locked the town down, or locked these cities down, the people themselves had no firearms with which to protect themselves. They were at the mercy, of how strong a door they had and how fast the police could get there.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I would be okay with some gun controls if I felt that the motivation was sincere and if it would actually keep guns from the bad guys. But my opinion is that, I mean, what is the definition of a criminal? A criminal does not pay attention to the law.
None of these laws apply.
So, if there were very strict gun laws, I feel, and it seems like most Americans feel, that I wouldn't be able to have a gun, but the bad guy would get one anyway.
Of course.
So what is the point? I mean, I don't see why the government would encourage good people not to have weapons and bad people to have them because they will get them even if they have to make them.
Well, if you look at the history, you look at the history of what some of the politicians have said in this country. I mean, Nancy Pelosi has said that the goal is to get rid of all the guns. This is just a step. And historically, if you go back to different countries and different parts of the world, registration of guns is the first step. And the second step is obviously, and this is, Hitler did it, and he didn't do it to the Jewish people first. When he was first in office, and he inherited a registration a law that was already in effect, what he did, he changed the law to allow him, the government, to not renew registrations. And they, what they first did was, if you were against his government, or you were a political activist against his government, you could not keep a gun. Plus, you also, the gas chambers were also first created to eliminate the political opposition in Germany. So the first people that were gassed were not the Jews, but eventually they were.
Well, that's an interesting political method. Well, John Wallace of the Oath Keepers, thanks for being here on WGXC 90.7 FM. We're happy to have you. We're finally going to play some music after getting a little technical assistance from the guru. And you can linger around and listen and walk around, have a good time.
Okay.
We are going to play some Toby Keith now. So I'm so excited because I think it's actually going to work this time. So here we go with Toby Keith. Music. Thank you, Phil Grant, for pressing the right button. As always, Phil Grant is there for us.
I took Lisa down to the cafe, one where we first fell in love.
Coming up on WGXC is guest Nathaniel Williams.
The song that we used to dance to, hoping it might be enough. But when I told her I was sorry, that only made it worse. Then the waitress came over and saw Lisa crying. Said, honey, what's the matter with her? There's nothing wrong with her. She's perfect. She's as pure as she can be. She'd never say, but the only mistake she ever made was me. It might appear to you she's broken by the teardrops in her eyes, but there's nothing wrong with her. She's perfect. I'm the one who made her cry. Could you please bring us 2 cups of coffee? We might be here for a while. Make mine black and her sweet as sugar. Something that matches her smile. She's already loved me for half of her life. She's never been untrue. So let me tell you before you ask her if there's anything you can do. There's nothing wrong with her. She's as pure as she can be. She'd never say, but the only mistake she ever made was me. It might appear to you she's broken by the teardrops in her eyes. There's nothing wrong with her, she's perfect. I'm the one who made her cry. There's nothing wrong with her, she's perfect. I'm the one who made her cry.
All right, Toby Keith, There's nothing wrong with her. She's perfect. I'm the problem. And we'll have more of Toby Keith a little later now that everything's working here in the studio. The CDs are working. I think everyone can hear my voice. My guest is sitting at the proper microphone. And it doesn't get much better than this. Hopefully the freight train won't come by in a minute. How are you, Nathaniel Williams?
I'm doing great. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Right. You're looking like a pro already. Get your mouth a little closer
to
the mic.
All right.
And Nathaniel Williams hails from Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
That's right.
He was born actually in three places at the same time.
Wow.
Makes him very unique.
This is a unique person.
And he is on The Right Opinion, which is a conservative talk show, because I consider him an entrepreneur. And for those of you who don't know, conservatives love entrepreneurs because we feel that the more you can do for yourself without relying on government help, the better. And Nathaniel, I think, is a great example of that. So we're going to have him tell us about his organization. But first, a little 2-minute bio on you. Tell us who you are.
All right. Well, even though I'd love to take credit for being born in three places at once, I'm going to have to settle with Alabama.
Okay.
I grew up in those down in the southeast in those three states, but actually born in Alabama. And listening to that song, actually, I was just thinking back to Tennessee, because that's about all you can pick up down there is country music, and it was taking me back home. So I grew up down there, and I ended up going over to Europe when I was 19, and studied art over in Switzerland, and actually puppetry, and came back to the United States after about 4 or 5 years over there, which was a tremendous kind of multicultural education for me. You know, really opened my eyes to the wider world. I ended up going over and seeing the former USSR, visited the Ukraine 6 times, went over, visited Asia. Actually, I was 2 weeks studying art in India. It was a real eye-opener. And I ended up coming back to the United States in 2004, and I've been here since then, teaching and making art. That's what I do.
Awesome. Well, I discovered you because I live in Philmont, which I would say the average person in Columbia County might not consider as a hotbed of entrepreneurism. But Philmont is actually on the move. It's a lot better. We've got good restaurants. We've got an arts program.
Yeah.
Come to Philmont.
That's right.
And meet Nathaniel in person. But there's a Family Dollar store in Philmont, and right next to it is a big, what was an empty space, an empty rental or retail space. And your operation is in there. So tell us about your organization. What do you do over there?
Well, we are like you said, we're an arts organization, and we are totally independent, grassroots supported. We decided that we wanted to cultivate and offer practical arts classes, fine arts classes, and also we just got done with actually a tour of a puppetry show in the school district of Columbia County last week, as well as a number of performances in Philmont. And so that's what you'll find us doing over there.
Well,
what
is the name of your organization?
It's called the Free Columbia. It's called Free Columbia. And if you want to find out about it, all the people that are listening, you can go online and look up freecolumbia.org. There's plenty of information about what we're doing, and you can learn about it there.
It's called Free Columbia because
that's right.
The art is free? I mean,
that's a great question. There are two parts of that. One is that we set ourselves up so that we're totally independent. We're a totally, like I said, grassroots supported organization.
This is why you're on the show.
Yeah, we don't receive, we don't apply for any large grant funding or government funding. We actually have tried to just kind of rally the community around the project and to start making good things happen.
When I go by, I see a lot of people there.
Yeah, it's been hopping.
It's yeah. Actually your program seems to be the most hopping thing going on Main Street in Philmont, as far as I can tell.
Well, the last few months have been really happening. It's our busiest time of year.
Now, you as an individual, you actually support yourself with this.
That's correct.
That's great. It's amazing.
I heard, you know, when we started it, we're going into our fifth year here. A colleague of mine and myself, we came up with the idea that we wanted to start an organization that was independent, but that wasn't tuition-based, meaning where it was really accessible to everybody in the community. So we set it up. We rallied. At this point, we have 42 or 43 people in the community who send us monthly pledges to do what we do. We've got then countless more people who make annual contributions, and we bring in about $70,000 a year, which supports ourselves and our programs. Yeah.
So you are an artist who actually supports yourself with your art. You help the community at the same time. You're helping Philmont. You're helping the people in your program. You're helping me because you're filling some time on my radio station. I mean, you're the bomb.
All right.
You are the bomb.
Well, thank you for helping
us. Don't go anywhere because you're going to have to sit here and listen to Toby Keith some more.
All right. Take me home.
All right. Well, actually, I want the blue moon to shine over your organization and Philmont. So we're going to have Toby Keith here talking about the blue moon. This is WGXC 90.7 FM with live feed at WGXC.org, and you're listening to The Right Opinion.
Day by day, we let love just walk away, and I'll be the first to say I was glad to see it going day by day. Ever since you went away, I find that I'm still missing you. I just got to know, does that blue moon ever shine on you? I wanna hold you close to me, feel just like it used to be. And baby, if you feel like I do, you can come to me. Does that blue moon ever shine on you? On my mind, you were right there all the time. I could search and never find someone does me like you do. Here's a part where I'm giving you my heart. I was a fool to let you go. Girl, I just got to know, does that blue moon ever shine on you? I wanna hold you close to me, feel just like it used to be. And baby, if you feel like I do,
Hey, you listeners out there, does a blue moon ever shine on you? I think the blue moon is shining on Philmont and Nathaniel Williams. What's the name of that organization, the art organization in Philmont again?
It's the Free Columbia. Free Columbia, and we have art courses, performances, internships. Mm-hmm.
So how does someone get involved if they want to?
Well, you know, we have all kinds, just like a community organization, there are all kinds of levels of participation.
Just show up?
Well, one is just support it through sending in contributions. People do that. We never meet them, and they say, we like what you're doing, and they go to our website and they make donations. Other people see a course on the website, and they give me a call or they give me an email, which they can find on the website, and say, I'd like to sign up for that course. We have courses that are short. You can come and learn something for a week. We have courses that are relatively long, like our one-year painting course, full-time for 1 year. So it's quite a variety of options.
So it's like, what do you issue, a certificate of some sort?
It's totally independent. You know, we list what we did on the certificate, and those who complete the program, they receive one.
I just painted my bedroom fairly well. do you think I could pass this course in 1 year?
Well, I'd have to see how you did.
Really? You might.
Yeah, I mean, if you do the course, you know, we just, anyone who comes and they apply themselves and they're present and they work hard, we verify that they did all that, and that they definitely leave a different person with more skills than they came with.
So you won't say to a person after like 4 or 5 sessions that you're hopeless? And
well, we have run into people.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Well, you run into situations where people can't do the work, but that's in any situation the case.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything in life.
Yeah.
What's your organization doing for Philmont? It's and how do you feel about the future of Philmont in general? Because we might as well talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm from Philmont. You are from Philmont. Yeah. Philmont has a bad rep.
Yeah.
We have a lot of beautiful renovated storefronts in Philmont that are waiting for an entrepreneur like Nathaniel to open up any type of store, because people will come there and give you business. We're perplexed as to why it isn't happening. We have 5 good restaurants now in town. So how do you feel about the future of Philmont and the future of your particular operation?
Well, I think that Philmont is a facilities-rich place. I mean, it's got so many facilities that were built up during the industrial age, when America was an industrial power. And now they're pretty much empty. And, you know, they're waiting for the initiative of tomorrow. So, and they're very, you know, people, landlords and the village are ready to work with people if they have an initiative. I've had good experiences with that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there was this big empty store next to Family Dollar. And then one day I saw all this activity there, and that was your group. And it's working out very well. There's a restaurant in town. I won't mention the name, but it's a very well known farm to table restaurant that's, you know, fairly upscale. People thought this could never work in Philmont. No, it's actually working very well. So I hope you know, others decide to take Nathaniel's example and try to do something there, and, you know, you could make some money. We need a cafe with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think about it, money is the, in the economy, money is a picture for goods and services rendered. So the more money we have flowing, it means the more that we're doing for one another as a community, and the more healthy our communities are. So the more money we get flowing, ideally, that's a picture for things we're doing for one another, and it's a good picture.
Are you sort of in that location for good, or do you want to have a second location?
Believe it or not, we have a few locations. We've got one on Maple Avenue where we can only teach our full-time students. The space that you're referring to on 84, that's where we have all of our part-time classes. We have to teach part-time classes there to keep the traffic down at our other site, which is in a residential zone. And we have another studio over in Hillsdale that we use now and then. But our home base is in Philmont. That's right.
Well, you're doing a great job over there. Is there anyone involved in your organization you'd like to give a shout out to? Is there anyone, folks listening today?
I don't. Well, they're in classes, so I had to I had to skip out to come here. But I'm hoping that this will go up on the archive. I don't know if you have an archive.
We do have an archive. Yeah. When it actually gets there, I can't tell you.
I'll keep my eye on it.
But we have an archive.
But shouts out to everybody at Free Columbia.
Okay, and you know, I'll see you around. I'll tell you when the archive is available for your participants. And you know, before you go, is there anything you'd like to tell listeners that might be involved in the arts? Is there anything you want to say to them?
Yeah, I would love to. There's one thing, you know, Free Columbia, a lot of people get out of it that it's financially accessible, meaning free art. But one of the most important messages I think that we have and that we're working out of is that independence, spontaneity, authenticity of individuals in a community working out of themselves, that's where goodness comes from. And that's what free also stands for. So,
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And, you know, in my opinion, coming from the right, as I was touching on before, the less you need Big Brother government to take care of your daily needs, the more free you are. That's why I'm a conservative. I don't believe in maximizing government involvement in your life. I believe in minimizing it. Right. The less you need help going through your life, the freer you are.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a principle that crosses party lines. I have no idea what your orientation is, but you're an artsy guy and you're doing the right thing. And I'm thrilled that I'm in Philmont and can watch it all happening. So it is time for another song. Just stay right here, John. Nathaniel. I'm confusing you with my last guest.
All right.
So many guests, so little time. But it's always time for Toby Keith, and here's a great song of his called Me Too. Toby Keith with Me Too. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM with live feed at WGXC.org, and this is The Right Opinion with your host, Ed Furtick. Sing it, Toby.
If I send you roses for no reason at all, out of the blue I stop and give you a call. Once in a while, it's breakfast in bed, and then pull the covers back up over our head. If I call in sick just to stay home with you, I want you to know I do what I do. My way of saying what I can't express, but I want you to know, girl, I'm doing my best. Oh, I'm just a man, that's the way I was made. I'm not too good at saying what you need me to say. It's always right there tip of my tongue. It might go unsaid, but it won't go undone. So when those three little words come so easy to you, I hope you know what I mean when I say me too. If you should wake up and catch me watching you sleep, then I break the silence by kissing your cheek. If I whisper something you don't understand, don't make me repeat it, I don't know if I can. Oh, I'm just a man, that's the way I was made. I'm not too good at saying what you need me to say. It's all
tongue. It might go unsaid, but it won't go undone. So when those three little words come so easy to you, I hope you know what I mean when I say me too. Me too. Me too. Hope you know what I mean when I say me too.
All right, that was Toby Keith and Me Too. Before we go, I want to read a little bit from an article that was in the Register Star this past weekend, the May 4th to 5th edition. County's fiscal condition under scrutiny. This is an article by Nathan Mayberg. The county may have to borrow money to make it through the year, according to some supervisors. And this is Columbia County they're talking about. The financial management of the county in the past year has gone from bad to worse, said Supervisor Art Baer of Hillsdale. It's very, very serious, Baer said. We're running out of cash. We've been spending for the past year and a half like there's no tomorrow. Well, that can't be good. And then to continue, the county, he said, has to institute some significant cuts and criticize the county government for having depleted a robust fund balance. Board of Supervisors Chairman Pat Gratton, Republican of Kinderhook, helped organize meetings this week where department heads have been appraised of the financial situation and told to watch their spending. Board of Supervisors Deputy Chairman Richard Cavini, Republican of Canaan, believes the county must change its spending practices in order to avoid heading into serious fiscal difficulties. Though he said, it's not a crisis situation. If the county doesn't rearrange its spending habits, there could be a problem come December when the county makes an estimated $8.2 million payment to the state pension fund, Cavini said. The state-mandated increases in the county's contribution and increasing county employee salaries are responsible for the county contribution rate rising nearly 300% from $2.8 million in 2009. Supervisor Art Basson, Democrat of Ankrum, said he thinks the county could run out of cash by November or December. In January, there were real concerns about the county's fiscal liquidity and whether a bond would be needed to pay the bills. Basson said the county used about $7 million of fund balance to balance this year's budget, and the county cash reserve have been depleted. Well, folks, you just can't spend more money than you have. There's no way around it. Now, we're going to have Mixed Bag coming up next, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Right Opinion on WGXC 90.7 FM with your host, Ed Furtick. I want to thank our guest today, John Wallace of the Oath Keepers, and Nathaniel Williams, an art entrepreneur in Philmont. And I want to thank State Assemblyman McLaughlin for the interview he gave us yesterday in Albany. We should get at least part of that on the air the early part of June. So we're going to be closing out the show now and getting ready for the next person with a song by Lee Greenwood.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,